Big problem, apparently, for driving right into the puddle, Barbie, on Storrow Drive this morning and on the expressway and on in Randolph, of all places, if you have yet to go outside because of the torrential downpour. Those roads are like it's flash flood situation on those roads.
Crazy.
So avoid them if you can. I don't know.
Unless you got a duck boat.
This week is like a blow-off week for people, so I don't even know if people... The week after the 4th, I think it's the number one vacation week, and nobody does anything at work anyway. So.
Okay, Greg, I have a real-life scenario that I need you to weigh in on.
Yes.
Because I am more on your side of the street when it comes to remote work. So I think if you work in an office setting and your boss tells you to come back in 4 days a week, that should be fine. One of my friends just took a job. And she found out after she accepted the job that she has to be in office every single day.
Yeah.
And she's really mad.
Well,
Because she thought she would, from the jump, at least get one day working from home. And she asked me, do you think it's ridiculous? Am I being ridiculous for being really annoyed about this? And I said, kinda, yeah.
That's good. You should. How does she not know? What kind of job was it?
It's a government job.
It's a government job. Yeah, no, I mean, I think it's reasonable to expect that people might come into the office every once in a while in these economic times,
right.
In this economy.
But their mindsets are so effed up that everybody nowadays, they think asking them to come in 5 days a week is wrong. Like, you should be the max you should ask me to come in is 3 days a week, because their mind is so opposite the other way now, where if you go to work more than 3 days a week, it's like basically where we used to be thinking, like, oh, you ask me to work on a Saturday and a Sunday. It's crazy how they think. Crazy.
Yeah, I would tell her that it's reasonable that they are asking that. I think that's what I would
say. I said you already took the job. Yeah, sorry, bud. You got to be in the office.
Courtney is off for a week and a half, and Curtis is off next week as well. But Mego was here. And we heard from Derek White, who is delighted to still be here as a Boston Celtic. And I, as our Celtics insider at this radio station, wanted to ask you about whether this you believe Brad Stevens is done. Is this when you look at this roster now, is that how they are headed into next season from what you are hearing?
My personal opinion is that they're not done. And mostly it's financial. Like, if you look at, it's clear one of the goals of this offseason was to be under the second apron of the CBA. And they're a little bit over the second apron because of what they got back in trades and what they did in free agency. So even if you're like being, I don't know, very cynical and saying, well, the goal of the Celtics was to offload these salaries and have a down year in terms of getting under, maybe even getting under the luxury tax and not be a tax repeater, they still haven't done that. So, like, they could still move somebody like Anfernee Simons. He's on a $27.7 million contract that is an expiring contract, so it's easy to move. Like, even if they wanted to add more to their front court, get another big, because they don't have anybody on the roster right now who's a traditional starting big, they could flip Simons, open up some of that space, and then maybe bring back a smaller piece financially who would be a starting big. So I don't think it's going to be anything that's like giant fireworks in terms of a core player like Jalen or Derek moving. But I also think that it's just pretty obvious that they have to make some other moves before you get to the beginning of the season.
You're in favor of doing the Dame Lillard deal?
Abso-freaking-lutely.
Okay.
Yes. Yes. To me, it is the most obvious thing. I don't understand an argument against it. It's basically like found money. I mean, this guy is maybe going to cost you $5.6 million if you do the mid-level tax exemption. That's nothing. And he won't play this year.
Nope.
He'll come back the following year, hopefully be somebody who's kind of like a luxury piece for you, very cheap. He can be a volume scorer off the bench. You have Peyton Pritchard as your starting point guard, and then you bring Dame Lillard in off the bench. Like, it's just, it's such an unusual circumstance for you to be in with a player of that caliber. Yeah, he's getting older. Yeah, he's coming off of a dramatic injury. Mm-hmm. But the risk is so low. It doesn't even count against your cast.
And just the player that you look at that he could be, and not he's going to be the Dame Lillard that we all know, but he'll still have some of that late game Dame Dollar where, and we were talking about this yesterday, where the league has become, you know, try to get to the paint and then dish to open guys to spot up in the corner. And one of the callers said, well, what about Russell Westbrook? I would say, give me Dame Lillard, because when you got Tatum driving or Jaylen driving, he kicks out to Dame Lillard in the corner for one of them open threes. I would much rather have that guy who I know can knock shots down like that. And I'm with you on this one, Mago. It is a no-brainer that you add a guy for that cheap and low risk, high reward, could be a guy that in, you know, a playoff game or two or a couple goes out there and scores 27, 28 points.
Who can you get from a big perspective if you're throwing Simons out there?
So, I mean, at this point, most of the free agents who would be a big impact player are gone or signed. Mm-hmm. So it would have to be a trade that you'd execute. And even then, if you look at what Cornette and what Al Horford are, and what Al Horford's probably going to get with his next team, like, because those guys are in that $10 million a year range, you have to imagine. Brad Stevens told us the other day that they made offers to both of those guys. They're looking much lower than that in terms of what they're paying. So I mean, I've always been a little intrigued by Mo Wagner from the Orlando Magic. He's somebody who has been a free agent because they didn't pick up his option for his final year. But even that is just like very, very rich for this offseason.
What about the guy from Chicago? His name is Vucevic. Is that how you say?
Oh yeah.
His name has kind of been thrown out a lot. But does he make a ton of money though?
I don't have his contract in front of me. I'm not sure. But I like, is it possible that they run out Nemias Keita and Luka Garza, their new acquisition, as their starters, and you get like Xavier Tillman as a bench piece? It's just it's hard to imagine that they're completely finished there, but I think whoever they add in that big spot is not going to be somebody like, I don't know, like a Jonathan Kuminga level, like huge name that you would know.
And where do they end up with Jaylen Brown as your alpha and as currently composed? What do they end up? Are they a playoff team? Are they what seed do they end up being at?
I say that they're either a six seed or in the play-in. I think that that's kind of where they're at, realistically. Mm. It'll be interesting to see. Wiggy and I were talking about this during the break, a couple breaks ago. It'll be interesting to see if they keep Simons. That would indicate to me that they are so heavily leaning towards being an offensive powerhouse team, because they're basically gonna say our strength is in offense. We're continuing with the Missoula ball. We're gonna try to score as much as we can and kind of play defense through our offense. If they move on from Anfernee Simons and they bring back somebody else, I think that that may look a little different. But I think I don't know. I think a six seed feels like the most accurate, but at the same time, I don't think that the Eastern Conference has gotten better in the wake of the finals.
Yeah, and the Nikola Vucevic, he's like $21 million, so it's like flipping Simons. It's basically the same amount of money.
I don't think they'd go for that.
But you're right, when you start to look at this team, and but I'm cool because my expectations are not high. Like, as a Celtics fan, I'm not looking at this year for them to go in and compete for a championship. Like, my expectations are not high. So if you're a five seed, a six seed, you're in the playoff round, like, all right, that's what I expected. My thing is, all right, how are you setting up the year after? I don't even want Tatum playing at all this year.
Okay, so Wiggy, what happens if they get past the second round of the playoffs and Tatum says he's good to go? Like, what if Tatum has played very sparingly? He's like on a Kristaps Porzingis playoff plan where he's played like two games. Do you have him playing in the playoffs?
So you said if they get past the second round?
Yeah.
So then that means they're headed into the Eastern Conference Finals?
Do you play Tatum? Tatum says, I am good, guys.
Like, I'd have to see how he looked, Nat, when he's playing sparingly to see what he looks like, you know? Because I don't equate him to Kevin Durant, you know, but I look at the Kevin Durant model of Kevin Durant when he blew his Achilles out. I know Tatum is much younger when it happened. I think Durant might have been 31 at the time where, you know, where Tatum's, what, 27? So I still expect Tatum to come back and be Tatum that we've seen before.
774 texter on the Subaru of New England text line, and I hear this frequently, says they can win the East without Jason Tatum, which is, I don't think so.
Yeah, I'm not buying that one.
I think it'll be tough to get past Cleveland and New York, but right. Yeah. I mean, even the Hawks have gotten a lot better.
Right.
But at the same time, the Pacers have gotten significantly worse.
Right, but you were probably going to lose the series against New York mm-hmm. with everybody. So now you really are going to have Jaylen Brown, Derek White, P. Pritch, and maybe Simon, and then however you patch the rest of the team together. So, and it looks like New York could potentially get Giannis, or they could get better. I don't really see how they can say that about this Celtics team.
Yeah. 978 texts are all over your insider status, saying they should be higher than a 6 seed, and calling you out on being an insider. I mean, you're there all the time. That's what I consider to be an insider.
If you want them to be higher than a 6 seed, I love that. Like, I would love the more optimistic perspective. I think I got 2 feet on the ground, and I'm looking at it and saying, I don't know who the starting big is, mm-hmm. and that's it's a big question.
Right.
So we'll see. And maybe the roster, like I said, I don't think they're done. So what does the roster look like when you're in September, when you start heading into training camp? We'll see.
You want to come at Mego, you got to go through Shime.
There you go.
And then Wiggy. And then Jackson. And if necessary, I mean, I do wear glasses, but I would be the line of final defense.
Okay.
What's that person think? Like do they think that this team's going to be a 4th seed? Because I feel like they could fall anywhere between 4 and 7. Yeah. But does he think they're going to, or she, do they think they're going to be a 1 or a 2 seed?
I think they do.
Yeah. Come on. Yeah. Stop it.
All right. We got to take a break. Coming up at 9, Red Sox front office report with Craig Breslow. One more time before the All-Star break. And then at 9:20, we are playing your Hill Notes back. So leave one of those. You have plenty of time to leave a voice note on any topic on the Odyssey app.